This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This is The View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is the 4th of September, 2019. My name is Patrick Smith. Hello, everybody. Welcome along to another jam-packed show. Well, I say a jam-packed show. We're going to try and rush through it because Davey has an early flight to the Czech Republic. We've got a lot to cover in this show, not least the two games that took place over the last week against Liberec and Augsburg. We will be chatting with Curtis Hamilton, Ben Lake, Bobby Farnham and Adam Keefe, and we'll be looking ahead, get some interviews, looking around the league, all the usual sort of stuff. But first, Mr. McGimsey, what time is your flight tomorrow?
It's not too bad. My flight's at 10 to 9, but I've got to get myself from here to London. So early enough start, probably leave the house about 4, half 4, something like that.
Oh dear. And also joining us, back off is a lovely trip to Lusty Beg. How are you, Mr. Kitchen?
Yep, all good, mate. All ready to go. Been a long day, so as I say, Davey's, I'm using his excuse to try and get it done as quick as possible, which is perfect.
Before we get stuck into the games, just quick thanks to everybody who came along to the View from the Bridge Lives, both before and after the game in McCool's. As always, we really enjoyed it, and thanks to the guys who came up and joined us on stage. Not least, an Augsburg fan joined us before the game and gave us a bit of an insight to his team. And then after the game, we had Colin Shields, we had Dicko, we had Murph and Paulie Eddie, we had, who else did we have?
We had Liam Morgan, we had Jordan Smotherman, we had
Mark Garside. And as much as I tried to give some media info and trivia at the end of it, Davey shut me down. But, you know. That's fine.
Well, yes, by that stage, it was 11:30. You had one over eight by that stage, Patrick. You were starting to dribble a wee bit, so it was time to say goodnight, you know?
Absolutely the right time. But a big thanks to everybody who showed up. We really enjoyed doing it. And big cheers to that. And maybe we'll do another one later in the year. Before we get stuck in as well.
Before you get stuck in, Patty, we shout out to Janet Wilson for bringing what are now known as Fufteens.
Mm-hmm.
The Augsburg Panther fans were really munching on them and thought they were fantastic. So thanks, Janet.
Did we get any of them?
I had one, yes. But our guests from Europe sort of quaffed them quite quickly.
Yes, showing the Bavarians our hospitality. And who knows, they'll return the favour when we arrive on Sunday, maybe. Who knows? Again, before we get stuck into the games, big shout for the Kingdom of the Giants website. A great article today from Chris Lovell on depression and how going to Giants games has helped him with struggling. He's been struggling with depression. And a big shout to everybody who's, you know, it's a very difficult thing. I think we've spoken about it before, Davey. It'd be very difficult to do. There are always people out there to help, but it's a good article.
Oh, yes, it's fantastic of Chris, because Chris is obviously, go read it and you'll get a little bit of his story. You don't never make light of depression, but he just be thankful he wasn't around in the Tony Hand era. And, you know, but that aside, no, a little joke aside, Chris has been very brave there and putting his story out there in the hope that it allows space for other people that are maybe suffering similar things, that they know that, hey, you can pick the phone up. You send me, says Paddy, anybody, a DM, you get your phone number, we'll get your phone number. You want to have a chat about hockey, you want to chew the fat, you want to meet Simon and Cargo Coffee for lunch, I bet you any money he'll do that for you. We're all here. I don't use the term hockey family because I don't like it. I want to hate the rest of the league. But, you know, for Giants fans out there, any hockey fan out there that's suffering, we're here for you anytime. Just pick the phone up, mate.
It's another one of the great articles that have been on Kingdom of the Giants in the last wee while. And also game reports and interviews. Go to kingdomofthegiants.com, but definitely go and check out Chris Lovell's article. Right, let's get stuck in, boys. The Belfast Giants undertook the first of their Champions Hockey League games at home last Thursday to Liberec of the Czech Republic. And what a game it was for those in attendance and those like myself and maybe Davey had watched it on Free Sports. Running through some of the stats, obviously Shane Owen in nets for the Belfast Giants, Justin Peters in nets for Liberec, and Belfast Giants opened the scoring on the power play, Bobby Farnham on 2 minutes. Libor Hudacek levelled it up on 7:21. To make it 1-1 before Paddy Ronka, the wee wizard, as he's been known, made it 2-1 to the Belfast Giants about 11:26 into the game. It was back and forth between these two teams, and Ronald Knott was able to level the score at 2-2 before the end of the first period. Into the second period, and a frenetic second period it was. The Giants took the lead once again. Brian Ward off a feed from Patrick Mullen and Liam Morgan made it 3-2. And then, well, hits, punches, injuries. We saw Jesse Forsberg unfortunately leave the game. We saw Matt Pelich lay a massive hit. We saw, like I say, a frenetic centre to the second period before Liberec made it 3-3. Libor Hudacek with his second of the game. After that, we also saw a fight between Kevin Rain and Jan Ordos. And then we saw Petr Jelinek get ejected from the game, 5-plus game, after a 2-minute rough and call, because at 39:40, 20 seconds left in that period, Curtis Hamilton was able to slot it between the screen of Ben Lake and a tight angle on the Liberec goalkeeper to make it 4-3. The reason Jelinek was ejected was because as Lake celebrated with his hands in the air, he basically Superman dived him to the ground and nearly injured his own goalkeeper in the process. He was gone and we were into the third period. Brian Ward, 4.5 minutes into that period, was able to extend the Giants' lead by 2 to make it 5-3. Goalie was pulled. Justin Peter was pulled at 50th 31, after, well, sorry, I nearly forgot, only about a minute after that power play goal at the start of the period, Mark Garside was assessed a slashing call and there was a penalty shot that was saved by Shane Owen. And yes, Justin Peters pulled at 50th 31, and Jakub Valsky was able to make it 5-4 and maybe give the home team something to worry about, but not so much. The Giants were able to press hard, keep the puck behind to the Brett goal and see out a famous 5-4 opening win in the Champions Hockey League. With regards to shots on goal, 41 shots to the Belfast Giants, 24 shots to Liberec. And says, honestly, we spoke about this before the game and after the game in McCool's. Arguably, that was one of the top five games of hockey we've ever seen at the SSE Arena.
Absolutely. It had absolutely everything. You've just summed it up more or less perfectly there, Paddy. You know, it's from obviously Kevin Rain, you know, near taking the head off that guy Ordis's shoulders. And, you know, sometimes you have some people bite off more than what they can chew and holding on to Kevin Rain's stick. I don't think he'll do that on Thursday night. But again, you know, I thought we played really, really well. We started really well. You know, people got to see, I mean, that was your first time and Davey's first time actually seeing the guys in the flesh or on the ice itself. And, you know, Bobby Farnham was outstanding. He, you know, the one thing that came to me during the game itself was togetherness. You know, they're really in it together. They, you know, there was an incident there when when Jesse Forsberg went down. And then there was Matt Pelich led the hit, and their guy tried to get at Pelich, and Bobby Farnham's jumping into it. And, you know, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's got a big, big heart. And, you know, this team this year is going to be very, very exciting to watch. But, you know, we've talked about it over the last number of years about the CHL. I said last year, you know, I would have preferred to go into back into the Continental Cup if we had won it last year to try and defend it. But I'll tell you what, this is definitely a step up from the Continental Cup action. Watching that game last year against Ireland from Kazakhstan and calling the game on Jan's TV was excellent. And it was a really good standard of hockey. The speed of the game, the atmosphere in the arena. And even though there was only just short of 3,000 people in on last Thursday night, it was loud. It was really loud. And, you know, commend to all the Jans fans for that. There was a small sprinkling of Czech fans that made the way over. But, you know, the atmosphere was brilliant. Everything, you know, sort of got together to make it, as you say, probably one of the best games I've ever seen at the SSC Arena. It's going to take on some top of that, you know, for the rest of this season to see a better game. Absolutely. You know, the game against on Saturday and against Augsburg, we'll come on to talk about it. Really good as well. But that game against Liberec last week was top notch.
Davey, a lot of that is down to the way the Belfast Giants played. You know, you can say the competition is one thing, and people's opinions on what sort of standards the competition brings. But that Belfast Giants side that has been formed and was put out there against Liberec, they're fast, they're physical, and the game was a bit ill-mannered as well.
Yeah, I think from talking to a few of the guys, you know, we'd sort of set out with a plan of using the TV breaks, power breaks, whatever they call them, to our advantage.
Power break.
To make the period into small chunks, so the 6 or 7 minute chunks rather than 10 or 20 minutes. You go out, try and do something special in the first. We came up with that early power play goal. We did the same in the second period, you know, a couple of minutes, 3 minutes in the second period, scored, and same again in the third period. So we're coming out to nice fast starts, getting goals. You know, I think it was maybe four minutes into the third period, Brian Ward comes up with a power play goal. We're good special teams. There was a lot of special teams going on, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. There was so much going on and off the puck. So, you know, officials had their hands full. And, you know, I pat them on the back all the time. I try and stick up. But there was periods of that game. I don't mean periods. I mean sections of time rather than periods that they just weren't in control enough for me. I think they made a few bad calls that led to maybe some questionable hits both ways. You know, you had their coach coming out and, for me, deflection tactics, trying to talk about a goon show, and it was like something out of Slapshot. His own team were
second
far.
Second period reminded me of a movie of Slapshot.
Yeah. You know, his own team were far, far from, you know, innocent and all this. Players slashing from the bench, you know, and they were involved in everything themselves. Good job. The Giants stuck up for each other. As you say, Kevin Rain feeding your man his dinner there was a sight to behold. And that was, you know, there had been a little bit of chatter going on about Rainer wasn't having the best of games. He hadn't come out to, you know, a sharp start. That really, really livened the crowd up. And, you know, the Giants, as you and as Simon have said there, it's one of the most intense games that I've watched at the Odyssey. You know, it was just, it had everything. It had speed. It had high skill plays. It had goals. It had, you know, don't underestimate the penalty shot save from Shane Owen in the third period. I think they got it back to 5-3. That would have put it 5-4. They've obviously pulled their goalie towards the end of the game as well. Nice and aggressive on it. He's came out to the bottom of the circles to, you know, take the net away, and then he backs up just at a nice pace, takes the goal away. Your man tries a wee forehand backhand move, can't get the shot away through the wickets. And, you know, the Giants, for me, were good value for the win. Let's take nothing away. You know, this isn't the, you know, we're playing above ourselves or anything like that. This Giants team has that speed and has that little edge that's going to be required. I'm not getting too high on the CHL. This is all about the Giants for me. Yeah. You know, I'm going to support them tomorrow because it's my team. If they were playing in the Continental Cup, I would hopefully be there as well. I really, really enjoyed the game, and I really, really enjoyed Saturday night's game. So from that aspect, as Simon has said as well, the standard of the play is off the charts to what we're used to. The Ireland game, maybe aside, you know, they're sort of the European games that really stand out as high, high quality, high speed, high skill, high power, physicality, all the things you want. And if the CHL brings that brilliant and all that comes with it, I still, if we were defending it, I would want to be in the Continental Cup because I want to be in a cup. I still believe in this Giants team passionately. I don't think we can win the Champions Hockey League this season. That's maybe something that progresses. We go through this. We hopefully qualify again next year, you know, and you progress and you progress and you never know where this league can go. But at the minute, you know, I would think getting out of the group stage is probably a victory. But it was a really, really enjoyable game right from start to finish. Bobby Farnham, you know, getting involved in everything that he could. Referees, obviously watching out for him, because there was one, he takes a roughing call. After a late hit, he gets involved in a bit of scrum and he takes a roughing call. And from then, you know, after the penalty, he skates back to the bench and has a chat with Kiefer. And the next time there's a sort of melee, he skates straight to the bench with his hands up going, "Can't get involved, lads, sorry." And you can't take that out of Bobby Farnham's game. That's what he's employed to do. He just has to work out where the line is with the referees. As I said, I didn't think they covered themselves in glory. Called what they had to call, and you know, the chance it came away with that victory, then putting the goalie and getting that goal, made it a little twitchy at the end. But tell you what, the final shift of the game, I think it was Bobby Farnham as well. Says, correct me if I'm wrong, I can't remember, but Bobby Farnham holds the puck in.
Press behind the goal.
200 feet from our own goal. They can't score from there. And somebody else joined in. There's two or three of them, and we just pressed, kept that puck in there, got it on their skates, and saw the game out. Fantastic. What I really liked was the first period was great. The second period was that period that was full of emotion, really, really building. The game sheet actually says 3,400. I would question that maybe. But coming out in the third period, getting that early goal, going 5-3 up, the Giants were able to then manage the clock. I thought they'd done really well, taking the emotion out of the game. You know, the penalty shot was just 1 minute after that. The Giants stay 5-3 up. I thought we controlled the game really well. We didn't take any penalties really worth talking about. Dubai takes a penalty for slashing, I think, with about 5-6 minutes to go, and they were able to, you know, really pile the pressure on there. But, you know, for me, a real professional, and you've seen the likes of Matt Pelich and all, these guys that have been around are some class acts there. So a real professional performance. Nice win. 3 points. Thank you very much.
For jumping in, Paddy. Let's not take away, you know, yes, it was a fantastic result, but, you know, looking, if you go on to Liberec and look at the experience that they have, you know, this is a team that's won the Czech League 3 of the last 4 years. You know, they lost in the playoffs last year, the playoff final, to obviously do the double in the Czech Republic. You know, three championship wins in 4 years. They were in the semi-final loss last year of the CHL. They've got, you know, when they look at, talk about experience, look at the amount of games that, you know, per team itself, and 673 games played in the NHL, 5,000 games played in the Czech League, 528 in the KHL, nearly 800, or nearly 900 actually, AHL. This is a team littered with experience. It's the team that, you know, you can't stress this enough. We that is a massive, massive result, especially playing at home. You've got 13 guys playing their first competitive game together. Actually, technically, you've got 20 guys playing their first competitive game together. But, you know, let's not take away anything from what the Giants have achieved here. This is absolutely massive. And, you know, there was an email come through, I can't remember if it was today or yesterday, from the CHL. You know, you register as part of the all the competition and stuff like that. They got an email through and saying that the atmosphere in Belfast, this just under 9,000 fans, were treated to two fantastic games at the SSC Arena. What the boys done on Thursday night was absolutely outstanding. I've already touched on it. I'm really looking forward to the rest of this season. As Davey says, I'm not going to get too high on the CHL. You know, we've got off to a great start. As I said to Bobby Farnham when I was talking to him the other day, you know, if it offered you 4 points on Thursday morning before you even stepped on the ice, would you have took it? And he says, absolutely. So 4 points after two games. We'll go on to talk about the Saturday night game now.
Well, before we do, I do want to actually come back to this point.
Second period reminded me of a movie of Slapshot.
And says, I'll stick with you. Like the interview with Patrick Augusta at the end of the game, you say, no, it's a great win for the Belfast Giants, but how much how much of it is an embarrassment as well to Limerick, considering did they show disrespect in chartering a flight that arrived only 3 hours before the game?
I think so. Absolutely. You know, in football, I know that you have to be in the country of the team that you're playing the night before. When you look at the Saturday's game, they came in on the Friday. You know, it's all good and well. You know, I think it was you told me this, Paddy. You win the extra league in the Czech Republic, you get €1 million.
Yeah.
€1 million. Let's put that into perspective. You know, that is, that's a hell of a lot more than what our wage budget is for the year. A hell of a lot. And, you know, when you're taking into consideration, you know, it's 60, maybe 70 grand to charter a flight there. It's probably good business for them, or so they thought. I think if we were in the same position next year, they'll be here the day before.
Right, and then on to Saturday and the game against Augsburg, which was punctuated by the fact that there were so many Augsburg fans in the rink. We'll come to that in a second. In regards to the game, the Belfast Giants were beaten in overtime 3-2. Goalkeepers were Shane Owen and Marcus Keller for Augsburg, and it was Augsburg who opened the scoring on 6:48 with Matthew Fraser, his first of the game. That was levelled towards the end of the period by Jordan Smotherman to make it 1-1. And then Patrick Ronka with a lovely finish, having sort of put the brakes on, letting the D-man go straight past, having the time and space to slot it into the back of the net to make it 2-1 to the Belfast Giants at the end of the second. Early into the third, Augsburg were to equalise. And towards the end of the third period, with just over a minute left, the Giants thought they had scored the winner when Bobby Farnham tapped it past Keller in the goal. It was reviewed for quite a long time before the referees waved it off as a high stick. So into overtime we go, and overtime only lasted 31 seconds, 3-on-3, before Matthew Fraser was able to score the winner and take 2 points for Augsburg, 1 point for the Belfast Giants. We got shots on goal, 26 shots on goal for the Belfast Giants, 33 shots on goal for the visitors. Davey, I'll start with you on this one. We spoke to the guys from the Augsburg before the game, and they said about how they had a physical team. I didn't find it an overtly physical game, or maybe that's just in comparison to Thursday night.
It's maybe one of those situations, Paddy, where both teams knew the habit in their locker if they needed it. But it was much more a game of high speed and high skill. Punchy had a pretty good goaltending from both ends. I thought their goaltender played really, really well. There was one stick save where he got himself slightly out of position, and there's a shot from the blue line that he's no business making that save that he manages to. But, you know, we knew their power play would be extra special, slightly different from Liberets that they'd came in the day before, and they came out, they were really well prepared. They've got a goal fairly early in the game that puts us a little bit on the back foot, but we've kept plugging away, and we've come up with a really good power play goal from Smo in the just coming up to the end of the first period, which was kind of critical that we came out then, you know, on level terms. I think we deserved it. The goal by Ronka is something special, mate, to be honest with you. You know, the way he comes down the wing and hits the brakes.
Stops, yeah.
Patient, and then finds the hole. Just kind of waits until there's a little bit of traffic comes in front of the goaltender, and some nice wrist shot past him there. So, you know, that was good as well. Obviously, they come back into the game again. I suppose the key moment, I suppose the talking point of the game is Bobby Farnham's no goal, as it's, you know, it's called out pretty quickly by the line. You call the goal on the ice, the linesman obviously then comes in pretty quickly and says, we need to look at that again. And they took an age, which some people think that's going for you, some people going against you. My initial reaction in the stand when I was standing with Phil and Stevie and Keelan, and that was to say, that looked at full speed a high stick. Because somebody that was in the row behind us says, why are you not celebrating? Why do you not think it's a goal? And I said, I think, you know, there's a possibility that's slightly high. But from the replays, no, that's, and Bobby Farnham himself, you'll hear him probably later in the podcast, you know, talks about how he's quite small. Okay, he's elevated. Borderline. I haven't seen a conclusive, that's just because I haven't really been over it this weekend or this week. I haven't seen a conclusive video that shows it's definitely a high stick, there probably is one out there. You know, I'm sure they got the call right. And unfortunately for us, that sucked a little bit of energy out of us, I suppose, and gave them a little bit of energy. They came up with a really, really, it's a set play, clearly, for that drop pass, yeah. Third man coming in, rifles it. Disappointing that it was a kind of giveaway when we've got the 3-on-3. When you've got that puck in 3-on-3 overtime, you have to look after it, because you turn it over, you're giving up odd man rushes, and that's unfortunately what happened. They have came away with the extra points, and you know, I think had we won the game, I don't think they'd have complained too much. Their coach was very humble in victory, which you like to see as well, and he kind of said he felt he deserved to take the extra points, but at the same time, had the Giants won, he wouldn't have been going away with any complaints. So, you know, disappointing. I'm sure Simon would agree, and I think you've probably said it in questions to people as well, says, if you'd been offered 4 points on Thursday morning, you would have took them. But when you have 3 already in the bag and you feel a wee bit, I'm sure there was a little bit of deflation in the locker room after the game. But then, you know, you get a day or two to rest and you're back on the ice. I'm sure that, you know, the points that we've got after those two games will be a real fillip to the lads.
Yeah, I think you're right, Davey. And it's, you know, again, when you're saying about obviously picking up the 3 points from Thursday, going into the game with a lot of confidence, you know, it's you just want to win and get the overtime. You've already touched on their goalie. I thought he was outstanding. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. He won the game for them. Like, you know, we had a couple of great A chances. And the other thing, the other side of things is, we haven't really mentioned Shane Owen here. You know, Shane Owen was, I thought he was excellent on Thursday night. I thought he was even better on Saturday night. You know, on Saturday night itself, he's, you know, he's come up with 2 or 3 big, big saves. And Thursday night, I don't know if you mentioned it there, David, when you were chatting about the penalty shot save as well. You know, it's absolutely massive. That was crucial save at a crucial time. And, you know, going down that goal after, was it 6 minutes or something, 6-7 minutes? You know, it's always difficult, especially with the crowd that they had. And, you know, that team would have thought it's a home game for them because the amount of noise that those guys were making. The only thing that was different for me, Davey, when you were talking about the goal which was disallowed for Farnham, Paddy and I were sitting together at that point, right down in the front row, and literally saying, this is great. You know, if we can get this to overtime, it'd be fantastic. Farnham knocks that puck into the net. I don't think I've moved. I don't think Paddy's moved as quick in his life either. So he was off the left. I was off the right up them steps. And then literally as soon as I turned around, I seen Mike Hicks running from where he was. And he's me, oh, and you know, he just knew that he was going straight over to have a look at the
yeah.
And that's literally, I didn't even comprehend it being a high stick. It was just elation when I thought we'd got the winner as well. And then obviously with a pretty good view of walked over to the screens where Dave Laurie was sitting and Mike kicks him through it. And to be honest, I think they made the right call. You know, you talk about the officials on Thursday night, you didn't think they covered themselves in glory. I thought Saturday night the officials did pretty well. And, you know, we had our chances to win that game. You know, I don't know how many power plays we had. I think it was about 5 or 6, maybe even 7.
We had a lot.
You know, you're only picking up one power play goal on that. And, you know, our discipline was better on Saturday night. We didn't take as many penalties. And then obviously, you know, as I say, the official, I thought, did very, very well. But as I say, 4 points out of 2 Champions League games at home against 2 top teams, you know, it's a very, very good start. But it all sort of peels away in the insignificance if we don't go over to the Czech Republic and Germany and put in a performance. You know, again, I don't think we're expecting to go out there and wipe the slate with either of these two teams. You know, it's going to be very, very difficult. But again, I think that Adam Keefe and Stewie and Bass and obviously Steve Thornton, I think they'll be very, very pleased the way this group of players has come together in such a short space of time to put in those two performances in those two games.
You're right, Tiz. There were 7 power plays in that game for the Belfast Giants, and Giants only actually took 2 minor penalties in the whole game. On the Farnham incident, it does stick with you, is the fact that it was interesting. I know you'd gone at that point, but it was interesting when Murph and Eddie were on stage in View from the Bridge Live, and they suggested that it was so tight that they were surprised that it didn't just go with the home team. Like, if that call is the same in, for Liberec, or that call's the same for Augsburg in their rink, 9 times out of 10, you'll call it for the home team because it's so tight.
Probably. You know, again, with puck luck, you know, you take it when it comes along, and you're disappointed when you get it. We got it last year. The puck was like a mile over the line against Cardiff, and Tom Darnell didn't see it properly. So again, you know, when you look back at games from last season, you know, and look at the trophies that were won, you know, that's the title winning point, you know. And
yep.
It is disappointing, as I say, after not and literally getting so close, you know. And you know, we haven't really talked about individuals here. Everything we're talking about is about the team, and that's for me, that's absolutely outstanding. But when you do break it down and you see the players that you know went out there, how good was Garside at the weekend?
Yep.
Gary played outstanding. You know, he started out on Thursday night as a picking up the injury to Forsberg, and he slotted back in the back end as if he'd never been away. Patrick Mullen, you know, 3 points on Thursday night. You know, he obviously picked up the top point scorer jersey on the Saturday. I think Liam Morgan's got 3 points over the two games. You know, this is a kid that came straight in from the Union College, and you know, we talked about him a few weeks ago, and we're going, is this a gamble?
Yeah.
Not according to the way he played on Thursday and Saturday night.
Yep.
You know, we have got some very, very, very good players. But I think we're all honest enough, you know, when we're talking about the players, the way, if they're having a bad game, you know, you certainly want to point that out to a certain extent. We're not here to rip the players that are playing for the Belfast Giants. By all means, if they're not playing for the Giants anymore, you know, I'm trying to keep it clean for Cool FM here, but, you know, they can do one. But while they're wearing a Belfast Giants uniform, then we'll pay them the respect that they're due. And every single one of those guys that pulled on that shirt at the weekend and last Thursday night deserve absolutely massive plaudits. Because coming in, you know, that your first two competitive games, yeah, it's all good, you know, having a couple of friendly preseason games and stuff like that. But it's completely different. The level that they stepped up to last Thursday night and then Saturday from the two weekends beforehand is a huge difference. And for them to step up and play at that level, at that speed, was absolutely outstanding. And again, Saturday night for me was very, very difficult. I do think that Mike Hicks and the officials made the right call on the disallowed goal. Watching the game back and watching the angles that we had, I do think the right call was made. And as I say, it's just very disappointing. 30 seconds in, we turn the puck over and obviously they take advantage of it. But that's not taking anything away from Augsburg. They're a good team as well. You know, they're big number 27. He got the game winner. He got the first goal.
He did. He got two in that game.
You know, he's a decent player. And again, they're littered. That team's littered with very good players as well. And,
yep.
You know, LeBlanc, we talked to the guys from Augsburg, the fans, you know, that they were telling that he's going to be their top player. And he stood out for me. And, you know, again, it'll be interesting to see how we fare up against them in Augsburg on Sunday.
That win for Augsburg gives them two overtime wins, put them top of the group. But three teams in that group, Group C, are tied on 4 points. Augsburg top, 4 points, two overtime wins. Luleå got a overtime loss to Augsburg and then a regulation win over Liberec. They have 4 points. They're second in the group. Belfast Giants, third in the group, 4 points with one regulation win, one overtime loss, 4 points. Liberec, no points. Two regulation losses. I've got one more point to make, but before I do make it, the both game reports, the highlights, the full press audio of the press conferences and all the interviews that we were able to do, you can find them at kingdomofthegiants.com. Davey, I can't leave this game behind without talking about the fans for Augsburg. They They marched their way from the Cathedral Quarter all the way to the rink. There was around 1,000 of them. They took over that side of the arena, and we enjoyed seeing the GKS Katowice fans in the Continental Cup, but this was equally, if not better.
I think they are the best group of away fans, not for like a mini tournament or anything we've had. You know, a group of fans coming for one game. I thought they were absolutely outstanding. I was standing right by them because I was doing the stats with the guys just under the TV gantry there. And so we were like 6-8 feet from them. And they took those three blocks and they went at it hell for leather for, what was it their banner said? You know, live wild, die free or something like that. And that's just the way they got on. And when the goals went in, the beers went up. Okay, some people got splashed and took that badly. But, you know, for me, I would love to be amongst them. As a Belfast Giants fan, I would love if we could do something like that. It just looked like the most fun you could have a hockey match. Did it spill over at times? Yes, but that's what I would have loved. You know, I don't mind that. I just thought they were class from start to finish. And I know that one lady who, I'm not sure whether she listens to the podcast or not, she said to me when I was coming in at the end of the second period, I hope you're taking notes on this. There's hand gestures and there's bad words. And it's brilliant, isn't it? You know, it's just one
beer
of those.
Yes, the works.
It got out of hand a wee bit because of the situation that there was some Belfast Giants fan, and amongst them there was season ticket seats, so not ideal. But it also wouldn't have been ideal to have pockets of 10 and 20 Germans here, there, and everywhere through the stadium. They wanted to be together. I think that something to learn for the organisation is that when the tickets come out, I don't know whether they'll bring the same amount of fans. I don't think they will. It's much more difficult to get from there to here. And let me tell you, it's much more difficult to get from here to there. But in terms of if we go back into the CHL again and you would have another German team and you could note that you're going to sell 600 to 1,000 tickets or whatever, you've got to move the Belfast Giants fans out of that section. Rehome them just for one night, and the Belfast Giants fans have to be big enough to say, you know what, I'll sit somewhere else for a night. I'll not be too precious about my season ticket seat. Just, you know, embrace an away team like that, bringing the fans and making it the spectacle it was. We were down in the tunnel, Paddy. It must have been 25, 30 minutes after the final hooter, and those guys were all still going absolutely mental in the stands, tops off, you know, having a great, great time. And I hope you think of the money that those guys, they were talking about £800 a head before they bought a drink. I think the money that came into Belfast and the economy over the weekend, that's not even ever mentioned in the press. There's not too many rugby teams come to Ravenhill and bring 1,000 fans with them. Or there's certainly not a football team comes to Northern Ireland during the season and brings 1,000 fans with them. So, you know, we're doing something right. And it's to be applauded, and I just think their fans were outstanding.
Standard DEL sort of approach. You could have predicted it because that's just the way they are. And those fans that are going to be going to Augsburg this weekend are in for a treat because having been to quite a few DEL games myself, that is the way they get on. German sports fans just get on it, be it football, be it hockey, be it whatever. That's just the way they are. And I was stood at McHugh's, and I just heard this noise, and I looked down past the Albert Clock, and there was this parade, this march coming through. I don't think they contacted the Parades Commission, so I don't know how that's going to go down. But there was this march came walking through of all these Germans. Who was at the front of it?
Oxo, probably.
Oxo, of course he was. They just came walking through, and the police who were there didn't know what was going on because obviously they weren't expecting 1,000 Germans walking through the centre of Belfast. But when they got to the rink, they were just, says they were phenomenal.
Unbelievable. It was, you know, I was in Hill Street on Monday, and the bars that are around there sort of, you know, I would, through my own work at Phonacab, I would pop hotels and bars in Belfast and see if, make sure everything's okay. The ones that we service and look after the customers, see if everything's okay from the weekend. And doing that, you know, the managers and the reception, all the, you know, I'm a hockey fan, and they were saying that the fans were absolutely brilliant. You know, they stayed all over the city. The hotels were were very, very busy at the weekend. There was, as you say, the Cathedral Court Saturday afternoon. I don't think it's been that busy for quite some time. Yes, you get it on a bank holiday Sunday, or if it's a really, really good day on a Saturday during the summer and stuff. But they said that it was so colourful with all the hockey jerseys. The Duke of York was right. Bar, Thursday Coat, all these different bars in the Cathedral Court, absolutely rammed.
Yep.
And then, you know, they met outside the side door of the hotel, marched down Skipper Street, turned left onto High Street, right across past McHugh's, over the bridge and into the arena. And yeah, there was a brilliant video from Victoria Stevely, who was sitting in the new UTV building right across the river. And she could literally see the fans walking the whole way along the river into the arena. And I echo what you said, Paddy. You know, that's for me. I've never been to a DEL game yet. I'd really like to go. I remember going to, you know, I'm definitely on the bucket list. But I thought they were absolutely brilliant. You know, they're running about there. You know, as Davey said, we could see down the tunnel where we're standing after we're doing the interviews and stuff. And they were still singing. And fair play to all the Augsburg players who come out onto the ice after that. Mm-hmm. You guys had went into the press conference with Adam, and I'd stayed out to talk to, was it Smo?
Yep.
I think we talked to after that game. And literally we just turned around and all the fans had made the trip. And as I say, I would like to think, obviously taking the points away was going to help, but you know, I would like to think that they had a great time in our city, and hopefully, again, that's not going to be the last time we'll see that sort of atmosphere, because it was absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, standard DEL fair. I absolutely love it. And it's like, when let's know if they win the game, normally the fans stick around and normally the team come out and have another second celebration. It's just a brilliant atmosphere, and so glad that so many of them were able to come over. And I'm personally looking forward to getting over there this weekend, but something we'll come to. Let's have a few interviews. We've come up. First of all, later in the show, we're going to hear from Bobby Farnham and Adam Keefe, but we're going to hear now from Ben Lake and first Curtis Hamilton.
Hammy, 4 points against two top CHL teams to start the CHL adventure for the Belfast Giants last week. How's the guys feel about the start?
I think the guys feel good. I think we're confident, but we know we kind of left some points on the table almost, and that we can compete with these guys. It'll be a little bit tougher playing in their ranks, I think, but I think we're up for the challenge, and hopefully we can grab a few more points on the road.
Can you talk us through your bullet top shelf ball popping goal last week?
Yeah, it was kind of like a broken play, and Mully made a nice pass over to me and just closed my eyes and shot, went in.
Get lucky every once in a while. You make the road trip over to Liberec tomorrow for the game on Thursday night. Tough game last week. Must be looking forward to Thursday evening again.
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be interesting to see how they play at home and how we respond after our last game, but I think it'll be good, and all the guys are ready for it, so we're excited and ready to go.
Sunday, Augsburg, they've had just over 1,000 fans travel to Belfast. They're probably going to have more in Augsburg on Sunday night, and they made some noise in Belfast, so you must be looking forward to the atmosphere over there.
Yeah, it was crazy. The rink was crazy there tonight. It seemed like it was going both ways the whole night, but our fans were loud. They had a ton of fans here, and I've played in that rink before. It should be a good time. It should be a good game.
How are you settling in after just your first few weeks in Belfast?
Good, good. I'm getting more acclimatized now and getting more used to what Kiefer wants and the brand of hockey here.
Laker, two CHL games under your belt, a couple of goals and obviously 4 points. How's the guys feel about the first two games?
I think we're pretty upbeat right now. Obviously, that last game, we thought we could have got all 3 points from, but there's a lot of positives to take from it and still a lot to work on, so it's good going forward.
As you get ready, a couple of days practice to head away to the Czech Republic and Germany. Road trip, European road trip. There's going to be quite a few fans heading over as well. What was your thoughts on the Augsburg fans on Saturday night?
Yeah, they were pretty wild. They brought a lot of energy into the building. I think both sides fed off it. They kind of brought it to us early in the first 5 minutes there. So hopefully we kind of have the same atmosphere going there, and we can feed off our fans.
Liberec last Thursday evening. Giants picked up their first AHL win. A really, really entertaining game both ways, and obviously coming out with those 3 points was absolutely massive. Going into this week, obviously you've got to make a travel over there. You're not on a chartered flight, unfortunately, but you must be looking forward to the challenge.
Yeah, totally. Somewhere I've never been before, there and Germany, so it's just going to be cool playing in atmospheres like that and just different things. And I think we're expecting a bit of a hostile environment after that Thursday game, so hopefully we can feed off that and get a result again.
And then a couple of days later, you head over to Germany, Augsburg, again, a game at the weekend, losing out with that late disallowed goal, but obviously losing out on the overtime goal from Augsburg was disappointing, but 4 points out of six is a good start.
Yeah, definitely a good start, like you said. But yeah, like I said earlier, we felt like we carried most of the play of that game, and other than maybe the first 6-7 minutes. So I think we're just going to look to build off our last two periods in that game and play the same way. And I think obviously it's going to be a little tougher going on the road. But I think if we play our game, we've shown that we can match up against these teams in the CHL. So, yeah, just looking to build off it.
It's time for the first Player of the Month award this season, the Player of the Month for August. We asked you who from the preseason games and the opening Champions Hockey League games you thought was worthy of the first trophy of the year. And from your nominations, we drew up the following shortlist. Number 2, Patrick Mullen. Number 17, Matt Pellett. Number 50, Shane Owen. And number 95, Patrick Ronka. Polling is now open, twitter.com/AVFTB. Get on there and cast your vote as to who you think should be the first recipient of the Player of the Month award, sponsored by Phonacab. Right, Player of the Month, so it's Patrick Mullen, Matt Pellich, Shane Owen, or Patrick Ronka. Davey, who's your money on?
Just as Simon was saying earlier on, Paddy, that's a really good question. And sort of if you take the exhibition games out of it and just say we're really analysing these two games, it really was a team performance, and it's quite difficult to pick, you know, a player who's shone above the rest of them. I thought there's tremendous performances right through the roster. You got to be looking at the guys that were eating up a lot of ice time. The likes of Ronka and Pellich, for me, were probably the two outstanding. You know, Ronks has came up with goals on both nights. So for me, you know, I wish that this is one of those months that you could wish you could be corny and just give it to them all. But it's a short month, and two goals in two games, two big goals in two big games. So for me, I will go with Patrick Ronka.
Simon.
I'm going to go with Shane Owen.
Oh.
And I'll tell you why.
Tell us.
Okay. because of the boots that he had to fill from the hugely successful Tyler Pescarani. That was never going to be easy for him. Really, really nice guy. Very quiet. You know, the complete opposite of Pesco. You don't know Pesco. Mad as a box of frogs. Like,
nice hat.
Absolutely outstanding hat. I think he boxy. But, you know, from coming in and, you know, being stuck in at the deep end and being told that you're going to play a hell of a lot of hockey the last 3 years, but you're going to play at the top level. You're coming in the team of champions. You're coming in that, you know, we want to retain trophies that we won last year and then pick up a playoff trophy. I think he was outstanding the weekend. Very, very difficult for him. You know, with the way we played, being very aggressive on the forecheck, pushing forward, jumping into the play. You know, it's difficult for a goaltender to put off, you know, the saves when he's getting, you know, a lot of shots put on him as well. But that big save on Thursday night to keep the game, you know, keep us in front, and I think that would have made it 5. And then they scored with another, scored in the last minute on Thursday night to get it back to 5-5. So, I thought Shane was outstanding. Don't get me wrong, Davey's made points there for Pachuca. You know, Matt Pelich played well. I touched earlier, Garside was brilliant over the weekend as well. But for me, on the first two games that he's played as a competitive action, I'm going to vote for Shane Owen. I've already voted for Shane Owen.
I'm going to go Patrick Mullen. I've really liked what I've seen Patrick Mullen assists-wise. He went into that second game of CHL with the top scorer shirt on because he is just working so hard at the back, providing he's really quick to get back. I've been very, very impressed. So I'm going to my vote went to Patrick Mullen. But like you say, lads, those two competitive games and the preseason friendlies, you know, they were very entertaining and the team as a whole really stood out. So it was difficult. You should see, I think we received almost 100 nominations and it was quite a wide spread with everybody really impressed of how this team has been looking so far. So it was difficult to pull these four into a short list. But Patrick Mullen, Matt Pelich, Shane Owen, Patrick Vronka, get on Twitter, twitter.com/AVFTB. The poll is there. It'll be open till Friday evening and we'll present the Phone a Cab, A View from the Bridge Player of the Month trophy at the first home game in the Challenge Cup against the Brayhead, the Glasgow Clan, next week. Very quick around the league. In the Belfast Giants, other CHL slot, which is being taken by the Cardiff Devils, never heard of them. But they've got two wins in their opening two games, including an overtime win over Graz that went to penalty shots. So they're doing well. But now that they are also off to the Czech Republic to face Mountfield before
season. Just on that, like you look at the fine margins and the wide margins, I suppose. We have a goal chalked back on Saturday night and they score a goal. This isn't sour grapes because they mean nothing to me. But in terms of the competition, in terms of puck luck that Simon was talking about earlier on, they score a goal on, I think it's Friday night. That's offside. At least six feet offside. That's a dreadful call by any linesman.
Maybe it's a linesman from Cardiff?
I believe so, Simon, yes.
There you go. Thanks very much.
But, well, if you're saying that, then maybe you think the linesman from our neck of the woods might throw us a favour on Saturday night, but sure, we move on.
Do you know what? I knew nothing about it. As much as I see a lot of Cardiff fans talking about our games, I've not watched a second of the Cardiff games. Zero interest.
Just saw one screenshot,
In the Elite League, Challenge Cup action, Sheffield and Nottingham had a home and away Challenge Cup series in a group, I think, where everybody qualifies in the whole new system. But anyway, they proceeded to split the points, both teams winning their home games. 9 goals conceded from each team across the two games. It was an 8-4 win for the Sheffield Steelers at home and a 5-1 win for the Nottingham Panthers at home. Both teams used both their goalies in both games. So everybody got a run out. Duba, Cantor, Carr, Jackson Whistle, 9-9. Also, Dundee took on the Brayhead Glasgow Clan. I don't care anymore, just the Clan. In a home and away series, and let's just say Dundee hammered them in both games. Unfortunately, Creekmore took a bit of a bad hit and he's out hurt. And
did you see that hit?
Yeah, it didn't look great, mate.
No, bad hit. I know our WhatsApp group was had a chat about Fitzy's interview. If I was the coach of that team, I'd have been really, certainly didn't cover themselves in glory with the two losses for the Clan at the weekend.
Yep, two bad losses at that.
Yeah, so, and on that, I know it's, it never helps, but, hope Craig Moore, I seen Fitzy's tweet saying about the Dundee fans, cheering when Craig Moore's left face down the ice. Sorry, Dundee fans, but that's bang out of order. Doesn't make a difference what fan group it is. Never want to see a player face down on the ice and needing assistance. So I hope Craig Moore's okay and back on the ice soon.
I agree. I totally agree with you. There's no need for any of that from the fan bases. But also, mate, sometimes I think that's a bit rich coming from Fitzgerald. the guy who was, you know, when I think back to that Galakos incident and everything that was happening there.
It's a very, very fair point. I seen Fitzy's tweet about it, but I had beforehand about it. And to be honest, I actually seen it on the tweet. Actually, I think it might have been Stephen Swan, who does the comms for Dundee Stars TV, and he had said about it. So, you know, but again, it's a very valid point, Paddy.
I think I'm quite surprised to see the Dundee Stars fans reacting. I got the guy that played, you know, what, over 100 times for their club as well. You know who's hit.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. I think that the hits, I'm assuming it's being looked at by Dobbs. He definitely... The arm follows through and comes up through the hip. It doesn't look good. I've only seen the one angle on it, to be fair. So we'll wait and see what Dobbs come up with. But, you know, anyone that takes a headshot like that, you know, you don't want to see anybody get hurt. You want to see your opposition pay the physical price on the game, but nice and clean. You know, you want them hit on every opportunity. You don't want, this is a job to these guys. You got to remember first and foremost. And, you know, you only have to look at Brian Riley moving on to Cardiff to see that it's a job. That's all it is. And, you know, we want these guys to be loyal to our club. We want them to love playing in our city. And the vast, vast majority of them come to Belfast and absolutely love it. We love them while we're here and pay them the due respect, as Simon's talking about. But you don't want them to get hurt. Because everybody, when, you know, I work in construction, I say this all the time, the absolute minimum when you go to work is that you go home safe. And, you know, boys get injured in contact sports. There's a difference between being injured and being hurt from a bad play. You don't want these headshots have to go out of the game. And I understand, you know, Fitzy, poacher turned gamekeeper and all that. It's difficult for him because anything he says now is going to be played under the microscope of, well, this is what you did when you were on the ice. That's difficult for him, as you say, going after Galakos and then talking about bad hits. It's difficult. That's a role that he's going to have to, you know, grow into. Adam Keefe certainly was not without sin when he was on the ice. He played that game right on the line. Remember, we talked only just a couple of weeks ago about the game down in Cardiff there a number of years ago where I think he took maybe a four-game suspension, was it?
Yeah.
And, you know, if he went out and a player did that against one of the Giants, he would speak in the media as well about it, and he could be pulled up. It's difficult for players that have played in this league with it being so small and insular and all those in the social media world now where all those incidents are still on Facebook and they're still on YouTube and, you know, but what about this? Fitzy will learn from that. It was a brutal interview. He will hopefully get a little bit of coaching on that as well. And he moves forward. Hopefully Craig Moore makes a really speedy recovery. And anybody that cheered that guy being down hurt, a guy who's offered, what, 4, 5, 6 years to the elite league now, needs to give their heads a wobble.
I'll give Fitzy a bit of a context there to give him a bit of a fair run. That incident did take place 2 minutes before the end of the game. Angus Cairns gets a 5-plus game for checking to the head or neck. But it's not just that. It's why does that hit take place, or why does he need to make that hit? You say, you know, hit them whatever in the game. Dundee Stars are 7-2 up in that game.
Yeah.
7-2 up in that game. There's no need. There is absolutely no need for that hit. You've already hit them. You've already hurt them. You've won two games convincingly. There's no need for that hit.
I'm in agreement. I agree.
Yeah.
100%.
Right, yes. There was a friendly game on tonight as well, down the road from where I'm sitting right now in Altrincham, and the Coventry Blaze have soundly defeated the Manchester Storm 7-4. Bet.
All is not well in that camp, it would appear.
No. Ned Lucevic, the incidents not that long ago where he is not turned out or not turned up, there seems to be a bit of a wrangling between the two, between Lucevic and the Storm over paternity leave, maybe, or there seems to be conflicting stories as to from both sides. It's he said, she said. I think the Storm themselves have come out and just said that he's not going to be part of the team. I know Lucevic has contacted friends of his in Fife and whatever to try to get his story out. Listen, two sides to every story in this one, but there's something.
Well, there's three actually. there's his side, team side, and then there's a truth in the middle somewhere.
Absolutely correct, mate. Right, before we preview the two games against Liberty and Augsburg, let's hear from, well, we'll hear in a minute from Adam Keefe, but first of all, Bobby Farnham.
Joined by Bobby Farnham after practice on Tuesday morning. Bobby, first of all, the thanks, Taff. First of all, you had a better view than anybody else in that disallowed goal on Saturday night. What's your thoughts on it, obviously, being disallowed?
It was close, obviously. I knew it was close when it happened. I'm a shorter guy, so I was kind of thinking, like, I know watching the replay, my stick was up, but where you hit it, you know, I thought it was right around the crossbar level, so I thought goal on the ice, you know, they might stand, so they obviously looked at it and thought differently.
As the time goes on, the referees are looking at that, and obviously, you know, everybody's just waiting for that decision. Yeah. You know, it certainly takes a bit of momentum out of the game as well.
Yeah, it does a little bit. You know, it gives them a little surge too, because they didn't lose all of a sudden. You know, so it was. I thought the longer they looked at it, the better it was for us, but because of the video evidence. But you know what, it was tough, and then they wanted an overtime, but it was a little bit of a stretch there, but.
Two games so far, two home games. Picked up 4 points. If I'd have said to you last Thursday morning that would give you 4 points without playing the games, would you have took it?
Yeah, I mean, 4 out of 6 points in this league is great. You know, we have a good division. We played two really good teams so far. We're going to play them again. I think more than anything, it proved to us, you know, what kind of damage and, you know, what kind of team we can be in this tournament, that we can turn some heads and do, you know, like I said, do a lot of damage.
Heading over to the Czech Republic tomorrow. Liberec put a really tough game up against the Giants last Thursday night. Very, very physical game as well, so you must be looking forward to it.
I am, yeah. It'll be a physical game. They can't, you know, I think emotions got the better of both teams at times in that game, so I think, you know, it'll be a very physical game again, but I think emotions will be a bit more in check, and everyone, both teams will be looking for that win more than anything.
Moving over to Europe for your first stint in Belfast anyway. How's your coming along after the last 3-4 weeks?
Yeah, it's great. It's been a great adjustment. It's been busy and it's been different acclimating to, you know, after playing 7 years in North America, it's been different, but it's been different in a great way. The fans and my experience here with the city and the team has been exceptional so far.
Adam, your last practice as you prepare for your first away CHL trip. First up is Liberec tomorrow night. After last week's game, coming out with a 5-4 victory, and obviously the Saturday overtime loss, I'm sure the guys are still going into the game with a lot of confidence.
Yeah, for sure. I think the guys, you know, they understand now and have that belief that we can compete and we can qualify in this tournament, and that's big. That once you get that confidence to know that, you know, it's a hockey game out there. Yes, these teams maybe have a better budget than us, or a higher budget, I should say. But you know, we have a lot of good quality hockey players here that we've shown when we play as a team. We play for a full 60. We can compete with all these teams. So, you know, that's huge for us for confidence-wise going into it. But now we're facing a bit of a different beast on the road, but we don't want to really change our play. We just want to go in there. And we don't have to impress anybody. We just got to come out of there with points.
How's your preparation been in this week's training as you prepare to head off this afternoon?
Yeah, good. Just again, we're still in that early phase of trying to gel everybody and trying to get the right combinations down. It does take time. I'm sure it'll still change from here on out, but you know, we're fairly confident here going into tomorrow, and I think we're looking forward to it. We're probably sick of practice and get ready to get going.
Liberec last Thursday was a very physical game. Are you expecting a similar outcome come tomorrow night?
We're certainly going to play hard, but we're going to play smart. You know, and that's kind of, I guess, you know, our plan going into this is certainly play hard on them. I don't think they like it, but we also have to stay out of the penalty box. So it's a fine line, you know, between playing hard and playing stupid.
Couple of days in between the Liberec game and the Augsburg game. Augsburg brought a huge amount of fans. I think it was just under 1,000 to Belfast last week. The atmosphere was unbelievable. I'm sure you're probably preparing for a very similar atmosphere in Germany.
Yeah, I think it'll be a great atmosphere there. I remember our times in Landshut and Bremerhaven. It was great time for us in the Continental Cup in years past, and great atmosphere, and I'm sure it'll be more of the same and better for it being a DL side, I'm sure, and especially, you know, seeing that their away fan support, I'm sure their home support's just going to be as good, if not better. Yeah, we're looking forward to great atmospheres in both arenas and another two quality games, and, you know, we're going in there to take some points out of the road trip.
A final word on all the Belfast Giants fans that are going to make that trip over to the Czech Republic and Germany.
Yeah, enjoy the trip just like we are. We're enjoying the Champions League experience, and you know, it's been a long time coming for our club, and we've been off to a great start now. We just want to continue to take that into the road trip, and I hope that all the fans that are traveling over, we can make you proud and make you happy, and obviously just enjoy the trip. I mean, it's not every day you get to travel Europe supporting a hockey team or playing hockey, so I'm sure the fans will enjoy the trip, and so will the players, and so will the coaching staff and the entire staff that's going over. So just a real excitement around this Champions Hockey League.
Thanks to the lads, says Bobby Farnham. Seems like a nice bloke.
Oh, mate, he's such a good lad. I mean, again, he's only been in the country a couple of years, but he just loves being on the ice. I mean, this is a guy that played in the NHL. You know, he's played the last 7 years in North America. His first trip across the pond to play in Europe. But even just watching him in practice, you know, he's just so happy to be here, so happy to be playing hockey. You know, he's and what a player. You know, he literally is a cross between Adam Keefe and Darryl Lloyd. I mean, he's right in there. So I'm really glad and really happy that he's on our team, and hopefully it's for the long term, because he's going to be a lot of fun to watch this year. But what a guy. He's just, I mean, we'll have to get Taff on soon as well. But you want to hear some of the things between him and Taff and
Divi. You were the one who interviewed him pre-season. Well, what Simon's saying seems to be absolutely correct.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed the chat with him had pre-season. You know, the interview's available on SoundCloud, but, you know, probably chatted to him for another 20 minutes, half an hour off the record. You know, really excited about getting into Belfast, getting involved in the community. And, you know, you see him down at the rink, he's always got a smile on his face. You know, win, lose, as we did the other night, he was just as happy, obviously not happy to be defeated, but he keeps the buzz in the locker room. And he's going to be one of those guys, the glue guys in the locker room that, you know, always comes to the rink with a smile on his face, loves his job. Who wouldn't? What a job to do.
Absolutely. Right, let's look ahead quickly to these two games that are taking place this week, also in the Champions Hockey League. On Thursday, 6:45 p.m., we'll be over in the Czech Republic to face Liberec at the Home Credit Arena. And on Sunday at 4 p.m. at the Kurt Fenzel Stadion in Augsburg to face the Augsburger Panther. The two games, Premier Sports for the Liberec game on Thursday, Free Sports for the Augsburg game on Sunday, I believe. And the Premier Sports game, who's the man behind the mic, Simon Kitchen?
It's going to be me. Looking forward to it. It's with obviously being on Premier Sports and that Belfast jam, decorum, but it'll not be from me. I'm Colin Sheens and myself are going to be calling the game, and I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah, it's big game for us, and hopefully we can do well and come out with the points. But it'll be interesting to see what happens, and it's going to be a big game.
Second period reminded me of a movie of Slapshot.
Davey, while Sis is behind the mic, you're on your way out there.
I am. I'll be going in the middle of the night here. Get the flight to Prague from London, and then don't know how I'm getting the Liberets from there. I'll work that out when I get there, and then I'm on a fun bus with the rest of the Giants boys and girls back to Prague. Dr. Thomas has very kindly rented me half his room for a night, and then back on a flight to Bristol for lunchtime on Friday. It's going to be a whirlwind sort of, 30 hours or so. But
anything? Well, what are we expecting? Because obviously, like I said earlier on, they're going to be embarrassed and hurting from what happened. They've got no points in this group. You know,
as Simon said the other night, to the Germans, nil point. <You know?
laughs> To the Germans, nil point. But yes, yeah, we're expecting a backlash.
Well, yeah, are we? Will Liberets come with a game plan to try and blow us away, or will they bring that physicality game, which I think that'll suit us down the ground? I think our best opportunity of winning here is getting involved in a bit of a war, getting that special team. I think we've looked really, really good on the power play. We've also looked really good all strengths, you know, even and shorthanded. But we've got good goaltending. It's one of those, Paddy, I could look at it and go cliche again. You know, they've got good goaltending, we've got good goaltending. I think their goaltender can be got at if they play the same guy that they played last week. I think we'd do the same again. We'd break the game down into little chunks. We'd try and come out sharp at the start of each period, and then you'd defend with your lives. We block shots for fun the other night. There's some guys in that team are getting that Adam Keefe mentality. I will block a shot with my face if I have to, because it's for the good of the team. There's team guys in there, and we are team tough as well. And you know, you just can't. I really can't call this game. It's gonna be a barnstormer, hopefully.
Game on Sunday, I'm heading out to that one, taking a flight out to Munich on Saturday morning, and I believe there's a bit of a festival going on in Augsburg over the weekend as well, so I'm really looking forward to enjoying that. And it's interesting, Simon, because from these two games, if you want to progress in the Champions Hockey League, you need to get an away win. So you know, which of these two games do you think is the best chance?
First one, absolutely, get stuck in. You know, it's not going to be easy in Liberec. Again, come to them, they are favour, so they're going to have to push the game. I think they'll start very, very quick on Thursday. I just think we need to be disciplined. I think that's the most important word that we're going to have for Thursday night's game and Sunday night's game. You know, when we're playing, you know, you're playing in these different barns and you're doing the travelling. You know, we unfortunately don't have the funds to do a chartered flight. So, you know, you've got to travel meet. I know Taft's worried about some of the stuff, making sure it all gets to where it's got to get to. You know, he was the boys were training this morning, and then, you know, Taft's got to get all the gear ready. As soon as he gets to the Brits tonight, I think they're due there around about 11:30, 12:00. He's got to get to the rink. He's got to get all the gear unpacked because it'll be wet from training this morning. So, you know, it's going to be a long night for Taft, man. A lot of guys, I mean, yes, the players are important. They'll go to their bed and try and get rest as much as possible. But again, it's not ideal traveling the day before. You know, your meal times are all messed up. You've potentially got to eat airport food. And so it's not ideal. However, Adam Keefe's not a guy of excuses. He'll come out and he'll expect a performance from them. So Thursday night's going to be very, very important. Sunday, again, 2 days rest in between could be absolutely vital. You know, Augsburg, I'm not sure when they play their first. When do they play Luleå? Do they play same night as us, Thursday, or do they play Friday?
Oh, hold on, I'll check for you. Hold on.
I just couldn't remember what that is. So, you know, if it's, you know, they've got to, you know, they've got to play Luleå, and that'll be a tough game as well for them. So I think that's at home for Augsburg as well.
They play the day after us.
Okay, so they play on the Friday. And that, again, that's going to be a tough game for them. But it's at home, isn't that right? Or is
yes,
it away?
they play Lily at home because they've already beaten them away.
Okay, so you know, it's going to be another obstacle put in front of us. But again, I expect the ball and give it absolutely everything they've got, and I've no doubt that's going to happen.
Those two games, Thursday night, 6:45, Premier Sports. If you're not traveling over to Liberec, you might already be there. And on Sunday, 4 p.m. against Augsburg on Free Sports. Any other business?
I have a little bit. I would like to say a thank you. Excuse me.
Excuse you.
Cough out there and do this right. I'd like to thank Steve Thornton and everyone involved with the Belfast Giants that lent me the Elite League trophy last week. Allowed me to go up to a few sick people around the place, that people that are pretty ill. Was able to get up to a couple of local nursing homes, and were able to get up, thanks to Laura Small, up to the Northern Ireland Children's Hospice up in Antrim there. They do an amazing job. Look them up, Northern Ireland Children's Hospice on Twitter. They need support. They don't get very much governmental support. They need millions of pounds every year to keep that facility running. It's a 10-bed unit. At the minute, they're only able to use 7 of the beds because of funding. Now, that's unacceptable to me when you've seen around it. If you ever get the chance, they're so open door to take you in there and let you see around it. It's an eye-opener, and you see the little rooms that they go into. Everybody knows what a hospice is for. You know, it's respite as well, but it's not. It's an end-of-life care as well as respite and stuff. it's a very sad place, but it's a joyous place as well. They make the life of someone who's up there incredible. The staff that work up there are incredible. And if you can afford to throw a few shillings their way, go for it. If you can support them in other ways through publicity or anything, get other people to donate, or they're looking for gardeners over the summer periods, you can go up there and do a little bit of gardening during the week, at the weekends, whatever. Just any kind of volunteerism that you want to get involved in. There's millions of good causes out there. Don't get me wrong. I'm not promoting this above anything else, but it's obviously something that we Blakey uses from time to time as well. Get well soon and see him. He's still in Blossom and up there in the Children's Hospital. Get well soon, Blakey. But, you know, it's difficult for families to be up there, and it's a place that is inspiring. And thanks as well to Smo for coming up and taking his time the day after a game. Didn't have to do that, but, you know, that Jim Glasby clause, that those, you know, whether it's actually written down or not, those guys buy into our city and go up and represent the club in a really, really great professional manner. Talking to those kids, and those kids obviously, you know, look up to guys like him. It was really, really nice to be involved. So thank you to everyone that allowed me to do that.
Hear, hear. Anything from you, Simon?
No, not tonight. Not tonight.
All right.
But just to say, David did a great job thing there last week. You know, it's you're just in a shut up. you know, it's not every day that an organization would let you take that. And that just goes to show that, you know, Belfast Giants isn't just any club. You know, you're taking that out there, taking it into people who would, you know, maybe just put up a bit of a smile on their face, David. Just, you're up at your nanny's nursing home, and I'm surprised because you went to Dundonald, you got it back out again, which was fair play to you. But, you know, it's a really nice touch. And as you say, we all know what Laura does. And I know she doesn't like getting plaudits very often. But without Laura on this Belfast Giants organization, that would be a lot worse off.
Mate, she is simply incredible. That's all I can say about her. She's
I'm not arguing with her.
Incredible woman.
And I said to the organization, no doubt.
Needs to do something with her, but.
And on that note, like I say, two games, Limerick away, 6:45 on Thursday, Premier Sports with Simon, and Augsburg away, Free Sports, 4 p.m. on Sunday, if you're not getting out there. Thanks to Curtis Hamilton, Ben Lake, Bobby Farnham, and Adam Keefe for the interviews. Thanks to you, gents, for joining us.
Thank you, Patrick. David,
you can get us on Apple Podcasts, on SoundCloud, on Google Podcasts, and on the Cool app. Get us on Twitter at AVFTB, on Facebook, Instagram, Tinder, you name it, we'll find it. And wherever you are this weekend, if you're over in Europe, enjoy a few beers, enjoy your hockey, support your Belfast Giants. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Sports Social Podcast Network.